This interview is brought to you by WatchAndWager.com.
At WatchAndWager.com, you'll find more racing action than any other ADW in America, with a $300 sign-up bonus, along with an additional $10 deposit bonus free when you make your first deposit via ACH, WatchAndWager.com is the place to play. Plus, WatchAndWager now offers all New York tracks and is available to California residents. WatchAndWager.com, licensed, regulated, and trusted in the USA. Tom Durkin with the call of the Whitney. That was earlier this meet at Saratoga. It was a race you heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, and joined now by the man who conditions the Whitney winner. That is Mr. Eric Guillot. He is a native of New Iberia, Louisiana, and he's somebody who is certainly not shy around a microphone. Eric, thanks so much for taking the time, my friend.
Yeah, you guys welcome.
Yeah, happy to have you with me here. And
New Iberia. I'm surprised you knew about New Iberia.
How about that?
Well, the berry, like mulberry.
Yeah, wait a minute. First of all, where is New Iberia?
New Iberia is right outskirts. It's one of the biggest Cajun towns in South Louisiana. It's the population's 30,000. It never changes because every time a baby's born, a man leaves.
is that where you learned to I'm assuming that's where you learned to saddle all of these greatest stakes winners, was in New Iberia?
There was about there's probably was five match races within a 30-mile radius of where I'm born and raised. Yes.
All right, so that's
kind of a way of life in my DNA over there.
So that call of the Whitney that we just played, when you hear that, what goes through your mind?
Tell us, was it good enough? No, it's fun. I mean, how can you not? I didn't even know until NBC sent me the feed and the DVD on it. I knew it was the richest race, the richest race ever run at the Spa at Saratoga. And then they claim on NBC that it was 150 years to the day that they actually opened it. So it was history. What, not 149, not 151. So pretty nice to put that in the record books, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was a tremendous performance and a great training job on your part as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me ask you this question. Now, before that race, you did something that a lot of trainers don't typically do. You had a party at the barn and a bit of a ritual, so to speak. Tell me about that.
We always do that. We have parties. I mean, our motto in Louisiana is La Bon Temps Roulette, which means let the good times roll, you know. You don't need to, you just need a big thunderstorm. Don't even need to wait for the hurricane to have parties where I'm from. That's kind of a way of life.
Well, you did something to kind of ward off.
If you guys noticed on NBC News a couple months back, they did a survey, universities did a survey of the top five happiest cities in the nation, and all five were in Louisiana. So there you go. It might not be God's weather or God's country, but it sure is God's people. How to live.
Now, you did something a little bit different,
though.
We had a big
barn party yesterday before the wood were there. My brother came up and took gumbo at the barn.
Did you do the same thing?
Yeah, well, we did jambalaya last month for the wedding, and we did gumbo this month, yesterday.
All right, but did you have...
about 300 people out of one pot.
Did you have all of the other horses kind of hanging up there as like voodoo dolls?
No, that was for the Whitney. I don't think I need it for this particular race, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's horse racing. You know what I mean? I'm going to be happy tomorrow morning, win, lose, or draw. It's just who I am, you know? I mean, I don't need the voodoo dolls. That's just all for fun and games anyway. It just gets everybody else worked up. Ain't no retentive people in this game. They're so insecure about doing their job. It's about what it boils down to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're somebody who is... you know, a little bit different from what we're used to seeing in this sport.
A little bit different, yeah. They kind of,
but you have fun.
I think they say I'm not eating squirrel shit. I think is what they tell me.
A little bit.
Yeah, no, it's not that. It's because I'm secure about what I do. I go to bed at night. My work ethic, like I told them many times, I go to bed at night and I can sleep. I'm not worried. I don't leave a stone unturned, you know. And what else? What are you going to do? I mean, nobody's here to judge me. I mean, you know, I don't judge people. They shouldn't be judging me. I mean, so I'm not going to kill myself over a freaking horse race. I mean, it's stupid.
Talking with trainer Eric Guillot on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Eric, you've been known to talk a little smack with trainers in the paddock before the race. How does that go over with your fellow competitors?
Well, I mean, it goes over good. I mean, people on the outside of it don't understand it, but people that know me, everybody knows I'm just having fun, having a good time. And Todd and I, Todd Fletcher and I are friends, Chad Brown and I are friends, Baff and I are friends, you know what I mean? It's this is nothing new. I've been doing this for, I've been in California 20-something, almost 30 years, really. I've been doing this a long time, so, I mean, it wasn't, this is not something new to me, having fun, you know, talking smack and having a good time. So it's kind of a way of life when we grew up, and that's kind of how we do it there.
All right, tell me about Moreno coming into today's Woodward. You said you didn't think you needed the voodoo dolls for this one. What gives you all the confidence?
Well, I mean, this horse is, I mean, if you go back and look, I mean, you know, people seem to if you go back and look at the form, well, look at the form on the horses today and the horses he's been running with. Look how consistent. I mean, to me, that's what determines the horse and man knows how to manage and train a racehorse. He's run the last 10 races in a row since he broke his maiden have been 7 out of 10 has been triple digit bars, 100 above, 7 out of 10. You take away the Met Mile, which he didn't belong in. I told everybody he wasn't a miler and took off the equipment. And you take away when he got hurt in the Breeders' Cup. Those are 2 out of the 7 out of 10 that he didn't run. And the other one that he ran, the Suburban, was a 97 and 96. So I mean, his horse has been ultra consistent of hitting the board and being in the big dance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe one of the more underrated millionaires that we have in the game today, because you don't typically think of Moreno as being a horse that's a, you know, the leader in this handicap division. But you know what, Eric? Mm-hmm. If he wins this race today, people may start thinking that he's the one to beat going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, he's got a big shot, I can tell you that. You know what I mean? He's like smoked ham. He's always ready. You can put it on the dashboard, trunk of your car, on the picnic table. It's always ready.
You know, this was a handicap division coming into the year that we said was going to be really, really tough because you had Mucho Macho Man, you had Will Take Charge,
right.
Palace Malice
right.
jumps up, you had Game On Dude, and I don't think we're viewing the handicap division, the older horse division, in the same light anymore, are we?
Well, I mean, you know, listen, it's always the last gladiator that gets all the applause. You know what I mean? So. And they can do whatever they want early in the year, but, I mean, it's, you know, who knows what happens when it comes to the end of the year, you know what I mean? So the horse game, things change month to month, week to week, 5 minutes to 5 minutes. You have a horse that's worth $10 million today and, you know, he's worth $5 tomorrow in 5 minutes. You know, it's animals. It's not a motorcycle or a boat or a jet ski you put in your garage unless there's a tornado or a hurricane. It's an animal we deal with. You know, I've had them get hurt in 5 minutes before big races. You know, you just never know.
You're
gonna.
I mean,
it'll change. It'll keep changing, and it'll. You know, I might be the next one on the shelf. They might be the next one on the shelf. Who knows? All you got to do is get up and do the right thing each and every day. You know.
Well, you're going to give a leg up to Junior Alvarado for the third straight time, and both times he's been aboard, he has a second in the Suburban, and then the win last time out in the Whitney. Why is he a good
right.
fit for this horse?
Because he's young, strong. And Moreno needs to be ridden hard, not just a finesse rider type. I mean, he needs to be ridden very hard. He's a looky-loo. He looks around. He'll run up and down. He'll put his head up in the air and get to the lead. I mean, if you look last race, he got to the lead so effortlessly down the lane that he just kind of threw his head up, and then you had to stay after him. And it's more like a day was coming. Looked like he was closing. But if you go watch the gallop out, he's galloping off 5 or 6, 7 lengths in front of him and could have went around 3 more times, and they wouldn't have beat him in the Whitney.
Well, I mentioned that you like to have a little...
I thought the Suburban was his best race, actually.
Really?
Go
even though he
got beat?
If
you know anything about horse racing, every guru and every gambler and every person told me that the configuration of the start and gate in a mile and a quarter at Belmont and is unfair. And I was in 11 hole all the way out. If you draw outside, you have no shot. Well, they were right. Draw outside, I had to make up 3 lengths. I broke with them and had to make up 3. I was 3 behind the first jump. Go back. So I got up there. I had to use up a horse 22-3 to go 23-2, and 46-4, 110-1, and they come and get me inside the 16th pole. You know what I mean? After I did all the running, everybody pressed him, went fast fractions for 10 furlongs. So in reality, I think that the Burton was his best race.
Well, I mentioned you like to have a little fun with your fellow trainers, and you get a rematch with It's My Lucky Day, who was second in the Whitney.
Right.
He'll get that rematch with you later on today in the Woodward. Eddie Plesa Jr. is coming on the program right around 9 o'clock. Any message you want me to give Eddie for you?
No, I admire Eddie's a good trainer. He's a good horseman. I admire what he's done down in South and come up here, and he's done well with the horse, and the horse is good, you know what I mean? We're just We just, you know, I guess he just woke up this morning and hoping it's his lucky day. That's all.
Now, wait a minute. That doesn't qualify as smack talk.
No. I mean, I don't know the man enough to talk to him. I don't talk to him about it. I don't know because they'll take it serious. You know, got to remember how it is about these, you know. It's like I already got thousands of haters. I don't need a new one.
Eric Yeo here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Moreno going to the post in the Woodward later on this afternoon at Saratoga. Eric, really appreciate the time, my friend. All the best moving forward with Moreno this year. Good luck today.
All right. Appreciate it.